So today, everyone, is a special day. Because, well, yesterday, it's one reason it makes it special, is yesterday was Pastor Eric's birthday. Woohoo! Happy birthday, Eric. Yes, and as a gift to Eric, I get to preach today. Woohoo! But the key is, everyone, is that this is the first time I've ever preached to adults. You know, so if you're visiting today for the first time, you're in for a surprise. But it should be good. It should be good because my heart, my hope and prayer for today is for everyone here is that the message I give to you will inform your mind and will instruct your heart and influence your behavior towards godliness. Inform the mind, instruct the heart, and influence all of our behaviors towards godliness. Now, as I've been going through today and been thinking about things, and as we've been going through actually the whole summer, we've been talking about a certain book of the Bible, and that's the book of Acts. Can we switch on to the next slide, please? Great. So, the book of Acts is a book of actions, activity of the Holy Spirit that actually moves and works through the people who first followed Jesus and believed in him. Now, this is a very interesting, amazing book because the people, the first people of the church, they were a small handful of people. They were uneducated, men and women, but the Holy Spirit moved into their life in such a way that it brought a movement of God to the whole world that here we are 2,000 years later still participating with. Now, the person who wrote this book was Luke. Now, Luke was a Gentile. Now, a Gentile is someone who was non-Jewish. And he actually wrote this to another Gentile named Theophilus. And so the whole thing about it is that Luke wanted to give Theophilus a historical record of how all this happened. So how it started, and you know, with just a few people, and how Jesus ascended to heaven, and then talks about how the Holy Spirit entered the earth the day of Pentecost, and all the things that happened in chronological order to continue this movement of God in the world. It's an interesting historical record, but also, it is an amazing book of literature. It is such an inspiration. You know, it's something where you can see the power of God moving in these people's lives. I mean, the audacious hope we have in Jesus shown over and over again. It's extraordinary. Now, Luke wrote this book of Acts, but he also wrote the Gospel of Luke. Now, scholars think, okay, they were together. Like, first it was maybe the book of Luke, and then it was this book of Acts. And some people think they were the same book. Others think they were separate. But regardless of the two things, it is a powerful testimony of God. Now, we've been going through this book this summer, and we've been talking about recently about the Apostle Paul, because Luke wrote first about what happened with certain people, and then he spends about half of the book of Acts really focusing in on Paul's life. And my time here with you is to explore the last two chapters of this book. And this is an epic of a story. And I don't know if some of you have read the last two chapters of Acts, but Paul, if you thought he had some challenges before. I mean, at the time of this, the last two chapters, he is in prison again. And this time he is on his way to Rome. Now, Paul was a Roman citizen. Now, he was Jewish. And if you remember, Rome occupied the nation of Israel at this time, all right? So they owned and operated that country, but not everybody in the country had Roman citizenship, but Paul did. He did, and so he was able to, in this trial that it was unfair, he was falsely accused, he appealed in the trial to be able to have his trial sent to Caesar, Ultimately, that was the highest court, the Supreme Court of the day. So his trial would be actually be able to be shown and reviewed by the emperor himself. Oh, being a Roman citizen had his privileges. So the governor and the king of that area said, okay, yeah, we can do that. And so Paul was on a ship on his way to Rome, courtesy of the Roman Empire. Now, during that time, you know, in the Mediterranean, it's a very beautiful area of the world, but this was no cruise for Paul. Because they start experiencing some changes in weather. And Paul noticed this, and he told the captain of the Roman guard on that ship, hey, you know, maybe we should just port and hold off going to Rome until, you know, the next season, until the season, you know, this season has passed. And but that captain, that officer, didn't listen to Paul, but listened to the ship's owner and the ship captain, and they continued to sail, and they hit a storm. Now, this storm was of hurricane force. Luke writes that they did everything they could to survive. They threw cargo overboard. They put ropes around the ship to try to keep it together so it wouldn't break apart. And they suffered this storm for 14 days. Luke says that they thought they were going to die. But Paul stood up. And he's told everyone on board that they were going to make it to Rome. And not only just make it, that no one on the ship would be injured. How could he say something like that? In the middle of a storm like this, how could he say that? Well, because he heard God. He heard God's voice through an angel spoke to him in prayer and said, God has destined you to go to Rome, and your life and everyone else's life on the ship will be saved. And sure enough, they were able to get to Rome. And one of the first things that Paul did in Rome, well, I'll tell you this, the Roman officer really liked Paul. And so when they got to Rome, it wasn't just that Paul was chained and bounded in some dungeon. No, the officer found a way for Paul to be under house arrest. It gave him a little more freedom. He had a home. He still had a Roman guard guarding him. But Paul was able to then invite anyone to this home. You know, and one of the first things that Paul did was invite the Jewish leaders of Rome to his home. And he asked the Jewish leaders there, he said, have you heard about my story, the trial that happened and how I got here? And have you heard about me? And this Jewish leader says, we haven't heard about you. You know, we didn't get any letters from our friends and family from Jerusalem about your case. And people who've come from Jerusalem haven't talked about you. But we would like to know more about what you do. And this new these new Christians, and we'd like to know what you think and say about these things. And so Paul then invited them back to his home, and the Bible says that they came in great number to hear Paul. And Paul spoke from morning till night, showing them in the Old Testament, the Mosaic Law, the prophets, all those things about who Jesus was, the Messiah, and who he was destined to be in the world. And it's interesting because the leaders, some of them believed, some of them didn't. And there was arguments and disagreements. And so at the very end of the night, Paul then quotes the scripture of Isaiah directly to them. And that scripture is, go tell this people and say, you will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts and turn, and I would heal them. Now, the Jewish leaders of Rome knew the book of Isaiah very well, okay? They knew it like we know basic math. 1 + 1 = 2. All right, so when Paul said this to them, basically what they got from that was, you are as hard-headed and unbelieving as our ancestors were. Well, by no surprise, the Bible says that after he said this, they got up and left. Now, I'm not here today to examine why he said this to them, but I'm actually interested in what he said, what this is, because this scripture, this quote from Isaiah, is found also in other places in the Bible. There's something similar in the book of Deuteronomy. Also, in the New Testament, this is referenced or found 6 times. Even Jesus quotes this scripture, and we find that in the book of Matthew and the book of Mark. There's something here. There's something that God is saying to us here. And I believe there's a key here of how to live a successful godly life in these words. Now, success, that can be a loaded word. You know, when we think of success, what the world thinks, we think of, you know, I think of things like money, or I think of like fame, influence, you know, and sometimes, of course, people have that. I mean, if you have that, if you have wealth and you have property or influence and fame and godly influence in the world, that's good. That's fine. But what I find is interesting is that the world sometimes defines success differently than how God defines success. I mean, after all, think about Paul. I mean, I wouldn't say he's the picture of success. I mean, he was beaten. He was put in jail. I mean, he was kicked out of town, then put back into jail, kicked out of another town. I mean, that is not necessarily the path of success we would see in world standards. But to God, Paul was very successful. Oh, yeah, Paul. I mean, people think that Paul was the most influential missionary of all time. I mean, he had a heart. He had it very hard. But the seeds he planted of the truth about who Jesus is and what God was doing with believing in his son, the seeds he was constantly planting and the things he wrote, here we are 2,000 years later being able to eat the fresh fruit of his labor. So let me just take a moment here with you. Let's go through this scripture, these two verses from Isaiah, and let's see, what does God have for us? Is there a key in here that shows us how to have a godly, successful life? So I'm going to take this down basically to the first section. Go to this people and say, you will be ever hearing but never understanding. You will be ever seeing but never perceiving. You know, when I first read this, I think, oh, it's a cute riddle or poem, you know, seeing, perceiving, hearing, understanding, but there's a lot of things we can unpack here with this. The first part here is this people. When God said this, when he said this people, what he really meant was my people. This wasn't a message for others. This was a message for those who God said are my people. The ones who know me, the ones who are my children. And he said, you will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You know, in preparing for this today, I looked up some words in the dictionary. I just Googled some words. And I think it's actually, really honestly, it's a good way of, if you are studying any scripture, to look up some of the important words, you know, that you find. Even words you think you may know. Like, I looked up the word hearing. I mean, I think I know what hearing means, but I looked it up a little bit and wanted to get some other insight on it. And hearing, to hear, means the ability to perceive sound, yes, to know the existence of, to listen, and to judge. Like a hearing, like a court hearing. So if we go back to this here, you will be ever hearing but never understanding. God is saying, you are always listening to me. You hear me. You actually make judgments from what I say, but you don't understand anything I'm saying to you. You know, I find it interesting. When I grew up as a kid in church, there would be a saying that people would say, that the Lord's ways are not our ways, right? Yes. So sometimes we can't understand what God is doing, and that's true. God is so magnificently awesome. We cannot fathom the complexities of his glory. He is so other than us, so holy. Yes, there's things that he does that we will never understand. There's things that happened in my life that I may know, God, I just have to trust you. I just don't understand why. But I find it interesting in this scripture that there are times where God says, I want you to hear me, and I do want you to understand me too. You can. But he's saying to these people that you ever are hearing, but you never understand what I'm saying. And then we go on to the next sentence. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. Interesting. Hearing, seeing. At first I think, well, this is the same thing, right? But it's different. There's two different senses. You know, to hear something is different than to see something. You know, to hear music is different than seeing a movie. I mean, they both have value, but they're different experiences. So God is saying here that you see what I'm doing, but you don't perceive what's happening. And perceive means to interpret or look on, become aware of something. You see me moving, but you're just not aware of what I'm doing. You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing what I'm doing, but you're not aware of what I'm doing, how I'm involved. And God shows us not only this situation, but he shows us why this happens. Because for the people's heart has become calloused. People's heart has become calloused. What does calloused mean? It's an area of hardened skin. We know a callus. Sometimes we get calluses on our feet, or sometimes we get calluses on our hands. You know, and actually calluses can be helpful in our skin because, you know, it protects us from a wound. It's something naturally that happens. But over time, a callus could become thick, and then that becomes more problematic, right? But I find it interesting that God is using this word about callus here. He uses this metaphor about our skin, because our skin normally should be flexible, and it's very personal. But he's saying something that's flexible that you were born with and something that's very personal that you have has now become thick and hard in you. So we may be able to have calluses on our feet, and God's okay with that. He may be okay with us having calluses on our hands, but he's not okay with us having calluses on our heart. And what does he mean by that? Well, he's not talking about the organ that pumps blood in our body, no. He's talking about the innermost part of something. Who are you? The innermost part of who you are. The heart of the matter, or the heart of who you are, your emotions, your feelings. You know, that child that you were that would run and have fun just running barefoot in the grass, who played with dandelions, who had dreams, that whom God made you to be. Something happens that we ultimately become hardened there. You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will always see what I'm doing, but you won't be aware of what's going on. Because the innermost part of who you are has become hard. When I read this, I can hear God's sadness in this. You know, and maybe you're saying to me, Ed, this is good review, but this doesn't relate to me. But I'm telling you here, friends, I totally relate with this. I see me in this. You know, how many times in my life have I missed it? You know, and I love God. I love Jesus. You know, and I pray and I try to follow him. And through my life, I have sometimes just missed the boat. There's times when I look back and go, Lord, what was I thinking? Oh God, why did I not just stop and help that person? Or I missed that opportunity. Oh God, if I could just get a second chance, God. I sometimes have thought that in my life. You know, but I serve a God of second chances, right? I serve a God of a new morning. Because, hey, even if I don't get a second chance, I have a new day. Because what does that song say? Morning by morning's what? New mercies I see. Hallelujah. God, every day gives us mercy. Every day gives us opportunity. Every day. But so my question really is not about, like, why did I miss an opportunity? Is how does someone's heart becomes calloused? You know, and one way it can become callous because, well, maybe life has been hard. There's a season of life that's just been like that storm, just raging, and I'm doing everything I can just to hold on, and it kind of made me, my heart tough. You know, if that's someone of you today, I want to encourage you that we can give our hearts to God. And it's a process, it's a journey, but he can slowly and gently soften our hearts. You know, and maybe that wasn't your story. Maybe your story is that you're busy. You got things going on and you're, hold on a second, guys. I'm sorry, I gotta take this. Hold on, I'm gonna take it. Yeah. The more busy we are and distracted that we are, that can lead to a hardness. I can see God moving, but I don't know what he's doing. I'm making judgment calls on things, but I don't see what he's doing. Or maybe it's something too. Maybe it's expectations. I can expect something I'm going to do, and this is going to happen in my life, and this is going to be so great, and I don't even see what's happening right here. You know, this is not an exhaustive list. There's so many ways. Maybe for you it's worry. Maybe it's some insecurities. There's whatever those elements are, is something that happens that causes our innermost part of who we are, our heart, to become thick and hard. That we love God and we are part of his family, but we don't necessarily see and perceive what he's doing. But God is so good, because just in these two scripture verses, he gives us the remedy of this. The remedy is to turn and I will heal them. So if I have a life that I've had a hard heart, or if I have become callous, he says just turn your aim towards me, and I will heal you. That's it. That's it. He will heal and soften our hearts. He will show us how to perceive him more, and he will show us how to understand him when I just turn to him. God wants us all to hear and understand him. He wants us to see and be aware of him by turning our hearts towards him. Thank you. know, I wanted to give some time today for us just to take a pause, a moment to just pray and reflect about this. You know, maybe there's something that has happened in your life and you say, Ed, yeah, you know, I do relate to that. I you know, there's things that I've missed and I just regret it. I carry this burden and I do see my mood has become more hardened, maybe to my family, to my spouse. I've seen that and I say right now we're gonna have a moment of just quiet prayer and reflection. And I say, you can just let go of those regrets. God, He gets it. He loves you. He wants you to just let it go. And you can turn to Him. You know, maybe you would say to me, Ed, that's not my story, but my story is, you know, I have been hearing from God and I understand Him. I have seen what He's doing and I perceive it, but it's been really hard. You know, it's just the money's not there, or it's just challenge after challenge, and I'm struggling. I get Paul. And I tell you, if that's your story today, take this moment just to trust Him and say, God, I just trust in You. I trust that You, I'm going to trust that it's going to be, whatever this is, it's going to be as successful as You want it to be. Maybe not the world's standards, but what Your standards of success is. Or maybe something right now to you today, you know, God is talking to you. You know, maybe it's through a thought you keep on getting in your mind. Whoa, that's something else. Or maybe it's you're compelled. You feel this compelling pull towards something. You know, God is speaking to you in some way. And so let's take a moment here in this time of reflection to be able to hear, see, and ask God for understanding. Take this time to pray. And let's hear and see. May God give us understanding. So friends, let us hear and understand. Let us see and be aware of Him by turning our hearts towards Him every day. Let's pray. Lord, You know, Lord, the desire of our hearts. You know the cry of our hearts. You are so amazing, full of grace. We thank You, Lord, for every morning You give us new mercies. Every morning you invite us to be in conversation with You. And Lord, sometimes we miss it. But help us, God. Soften our hearts if they're hardened. Help us, Lord, to have a deeper understanding of who You are and what You are doing in our lives and in others' lives. And may You, Lord God, get all the glory. May You get all the praise in all of what we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.